Mr. Barker. Looks like we have got some baseball to watch again tonight. Seattle Mariners, Texas Rangers. The Jays, at this point, desperately hoping for a Texas win, which would allow them to back into the wild card. If that doesn't happen, if Seattle does win, then tomorrow's game is not only it's not only winner take all for the Blue Jays, but it also opens the possibility of the dreaded four-way tie. And in that case, the odds don't favor the Blue Jays. 7-5, Blue Jays lost to the Tampa Bay Rays this afternoon at the Rogers Center. Kevin, obviously, a lot of the focus is going to be on John Schneider's use of the bullpen. We will await to hear the Blue Jays manager, Jordan Romano, used in the eighth inning, not the ninth inning, used in the eighth inning for one inning, the bottom of the order. Jordan Hicks was given charge at the top of the Rays order in the ninth and tenth innings. The tenth inning, of course, the Rays scoring, putting it away with runs in the extra frame.
Yeah, look, I talked to John today on the field. He told me he was going to do what he had to do to win the game. That's, you know, he's going matchups there. It made perfect sense. Is it a, you know, an odd look? Absolutely. You're not used to seeing Jordan Romano run out of the bullpen in the eighth inning, but with the way
unless
Jordan
it's for two innings.
Well, you know, well, it seems to me like they wanted Jordan Hicks to go two innings, other than Jordan Romano, and the part of the order that was rolling around the ninth inning's been pretty hard on Jordan. Like that for me is anyway. I mean, we haven't heard from John, but I mean, you can use a little common sense and think that the top of the order, you know, has had some pretty good swings and some pretty good looks at Jordan. Romano, you would like to have somebody else in there that might throw a little bit harder and have a little bit more movement and, you know, maybe it had a little bit more success against that part of the order. So, yeah, I mean, it made perfect sense. That's you're trying to win a game. You're trying to, you know, help guys' feelings, and I'm sure they were used to that. I'm sure they were prepared for it. The way Pete Walker is and John Schneider, they're very good at communicating. You know, you be ready from about the fifth inning on. If we have to use you, we're going to use you no matter what the inning is. So, yeah, it just didn't work out. They couldn't get the big hit. I mean, they had their chance in the ninth inning with Biggio up, and, you know, that's why it's a game of inches. It was a really good game. You know, would you like to see Kevin Gausman pitching on Tuesday? Absolutely. But you feel pretty good if he has to pitch tomorrow because your best guy's going. And the offense does look better. Like they're having better bats. They're having better swings. So, you know, you can hang your hat on that. And if you're just a baseball fan, forget about being a Blue Jays fan. This is wonderful. Like this is
no,
this
I'd
is
rather
what,
they
what you signed
that's
up.
Not wonderful. I'd rather they clinch tonight.
I didn't say a Jays fan. I said a baseball fan. If you're a baseball fan, you love this.
No, you'd rather have
now
your
you
team
get to
in
watch Castillo pitch, and you might get to watch Kirby tomorrow night pitch. I mean, that's or tomorrow afternoon for Seattle. I mean, that's pretty cool. Like, this is what you want as a baseball fan, at least I do. So don't look at me like that.
No, I'd rather have the team in the playoffs. 416-870.
You're talking to all the Blue Jays fans.
Yes, I am. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. The last time Jordan Romano faced the Rays was, of course, that game where, well, Jordan Romano blew it. The Rays went on to win the game 7-6 in that game. As my friend Mr. Barker pointed out, started with a Yandy Diaz double. Yandy Diaz wasn't in the lineup tonight, but he was on the bench. He was clearly available, and indeed he did pinch hit. Diaz, Ramirez, Meade, Paredes, Caminero, and Lowe all really tied into Jordan Romano in that inning when it came apart for Jordan Romano. And that really, I think that was an inning that kind of shook folks' faith in Jordan Romano. And in this game today, he would have been facing largely the same guys. It would have been Caminero, Rosarena, Ramirez, Paredes. So I think John Schneider probably just looked at that and said, you know, Jordan Romano, I mean, it's basically what have you done for me lately? And which guy, I mean, the same reason you're moving dudes around in the order, mm-hmm. right? The same reason you're trying to get the guys who are hitting more at bats is, I mean, the same thing applies to the bullpen.
Yeah, this has
It didn't work.
This has nothing to do with who's the closer. This has to do with who can get the guy out when it matters the most. And if you need to go two innings, who do you feel more comfortable? Because maybe he's got the extra couple of days rest and can give you the two innings. So, yeah, this is common sense. Like, this has nothing to do with, you know, this guy's the closer, that guy's not the closer. This got to do with that. The top of the order's coming up. The last time our closer didn't have a good outing. I want to throw somebody else in there and give him a different look. And, you know, that part of it worked out. What he did gave him a chance in the ninth inning to have the big at bat, have the big hit. Just didn't work out.
Well, John Schneider was managing to not have to use Kevin Gausman.
There you go. That's the whole point.
That was the whole point of this.
Yeah.
And, you know, as Kevin points out, I mean, there were a couple of offensive opportunities here that went by the wayside. The ninth inning was an opportunity. The eighth inning, Bo reaches on a walk and shock. Alejandro Kirk gets into a double play.
I'm still really – can you explain something to me? How the heck does Brandon Belt pinch hit and not play? I get it. I mean, I know he's old. I know he's played 4 days in a row. I know he missed 15 days on the IL. But how do you pinch hit and not play? That part of it doesn't make any sense to me. If – the higher performance department has to get involved and say, oh, he can't play 5 days in a row. Okay, he can't play 5 days in a row. But to say, you know, the eighth or ninth inning, you're going to pinch hit him after he sat over there for 3 hours just doesn't make a ton of sense to me, because it makes their lineup longer when he's in the game, and it just makes a ton of sense to have him out there, and then you pinch hit for him, and then it makes – anyway, for me, when I was watching that, I mean, I shouldn't be surprised. But,
yeah, yes, it was a
– they know their team better than we do.
No, it was a shock – not a shock, but a surprise. Brandon Belt came out of last night's game, and apparently his back acted up on him, and he was not in the lineup today. But you're right, he was good enough to pinch hit. And, we've had this discussion time and time and time again. I got this thing. If you can pinch it, you can play.
See, I was told nothing was wrong with his back last night. I was just told that they were winning big. They wanted to get somebody else in there, get him off his feet. Multiple people had conversations walking by asking, are you okay? And he smiled and gave you the thumbs up. So, yeah, I mean, this is more – again, I'm not saying that's the reason why they lost, but the last couple of days, has their lineup not looked better with the way it was the last couple of days other than today?
It's frustrating, isn't it? Because we're starting to see some life out of this lineup.
No question.
They're still playing pretty good defense. Like, all the things you like to see out of this team, all the things you think that are going to stand you in good stead if you go to the postseason, and today your starting pitching, Hyunjin Ryu, was not good. If it's me, I talked to Ben and Shy in the press box before, we were saying the same thing. If it's me, I might rather have seen Bowden Francis out there today than Hyunjin Ryu, based on how this team has hit Ryu. Ryu didn't come through for them today. They needed certainly more than three innings out of Ryu. They didn't get it. That forced them to go to the bullpen. Trevor Richards has been awfully good most of this year. He's not been the same dude since he's come off the IL. Trevor Richards comes in the game. He was up the home run. And then, you know, further to your point, the Jays had a couple of opportunities. They just couldn't put it away. And then Jordan Hicks in the second inning, that hit was, I don't know if you call it a bloop, but
hits a hit.
That kind of opened the doors.
Yeah. It's sort of against good teams, against teams that have 98 wins, you got to make quality pitches. When you don't, they make you pay for it, and that's sort of what happened today.
Eddie from Barrie, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
How's it going, guys?
Barker's happy with the excitement. I'd rather have the team in the playoffs. That's just me.
Anyways, I just a couple questions. First of all, do you think George Springer has that fly ball in right field, the one that Biggio kind of – I thought he pulled up on it a little bit. Do you think George Springer makes that catch?
I don't know. I think George plays pretty shallow.
Yeah.
That's a tough play. I mean, Cavan's a pretty good outfielder. He runs good routes. He gets good jumps. You know, I'm going to say no to that.
Okay, my second question is, can you explain the four-way tie? I thought for sure that we had the tiebreaker against Houston. Why is it all on Seattle tonight to lose?
Well, no. Here's the thing. The tiebreakers are records between the teams in head-to-head games. Texas holds a better record against the Jays in head-to-head games. Seattle has a better record against the Jays in head-to-head games. That's the first tiebreaker. The Jays have a better record against Houston. The Jays have beaten Houston more than Houston's beaten them this year. So that's why they have the tiebreaker. The second tiebreaker, then, when you get into things, is your record within your division. And I don't need to tell you that the Jays' record within their division isn't very good. So we've been focusing on Seattle because simply for the Jays to get in, one of those teams has to be eliminated. And the question is who gets eliminated first. And it's easier, frankly, for Seattle to be eliminated. And, you know, you've also got to remember that Texas, which is playing Seattle, is playing to win a division title. So then if you get into situation tomorrow, if Texas doesn't win the division title and it's Houston, I mean there are all the games tomorrow start at 3:07, and that's kind of basically where we are. But four-way tie does not favor the Blue Jays. The four-way tie does not favor the Blue Jays. You do not want that. Easiest thing is for the Mariners to be eliminated, and then it becomes pretty straightforward from there. To me, I like this system much. I never really liked the idea of playing the extra game, the game 163, to decide a spot. I'd rather use the tiebreaker. I think the season's long enough as it is. You use the tiebreaker. You base it on. I'd rather have the final decision based on what you did in the regular season as opposed to what you do in one 9-inning game on Monday.
Yep.
Just the way I am. Yeah. Andrew from Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, guys, I'm sorry for repeating myself here, but getting a question that you've probably gotten all year because I listen a lot. But, guys, what the hell is going on with Vlad's approach? Like, I mean, we're in year five here, pretty much at the end of year five. You know, I wouldn't say he's a vet, but he certainly isn't a kid anymore. And, I mean, we've just seen time and time again this guy has just zero clutch factor, zero clutch gene. I watched baseball a long time, and I understand that guys lose their timing, they lose their swing. But at this point, where he's year five in the big leagues here, and I just see zero mental approach, zero planning, zero thinking in between pitches. Like, you know, everybody blames Guillermo Martinez, and that's a whole different story, you know, whatever. But I'm pretty sure Guillermo could probably, you know, walk him through an at-bat much better than Vlad is thinking through these at-bats right now. Like, I don't know how many times we're going to see him just take pitches right down the middle and then swing at stuff that's outside in the left batter's box. So I don't know. Like, what do you guys think about this? Because I don't know if I can watch this anymore.
Well, I mean, it's been the same thing all year with Vladdy. We've talked about this a great deal. It's not going to change between tonight and tomorrow.
He looks hurt to me. Today's the first time that I've
well,
seen
we saw
actually.
Him, we saw him running out that ball to first limp, base.
He's limping around at first base. I know he has the knee issue. I'm not making excuses for him. I mean, it's the worst. Some of the worst bats you've seen him have all season. Sometimes, you know, he'll go through those things where either he's looking spin, a certain location, he gets it there no matter where it's at in that location, he swings at it, right? And that his at-bats start to look like they look. He's had an up-and-down year. He hasn't had the year that everybody thinks he should have had. And, you know, 5 years, I think that's a bit strong. Didn't he finish second in the MVP race a couple years ago? The thing with Vladdy being, you know, a better hitter year after year, yeah, it's went down the last couple of years. That for me, is something the organization needs to take a giant look at. Does he need help around him? Does he need a better hitting coach? Do they need to, you know, have better planning when it comes to, you know, just everything that goes into being Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? So we'll just have to wait and see. But, yeah, I sort of agree with the caller, not with the five-year thing, but with how bad the at-bats were today when really you need him the most. They were pretty bad.
All right, I'm going to read the tiebreaker scenarios just so I can clear it up, because I have to admit I've spent most of my time just focusing on the Mariners. If there's a four-way tie for three spots, the Astros, Mariners, Rangers, and Blue Jays, if that happens, the Blue Jays are out. If all four of these teams finished with the same record, ties would be settled in the following order. One, the AL West title tiebreaker between the Astros, Mariners, and Rangers, so they'd have to decide an AL West winner. The second AL wild card berth tiebreaker between the Blue Jays and two remaining AL West clubs. And then the third AL wild card berth tiebreaker between two remaining clubs. So that is the order in which the tiebreaker would be established. When there's a three-team tie, if one team ties wins the season series against both of the other clubs, that team gets the tiebreaker. However, that tiebreaker would not be in play if all three AL West clubs ended up tied. The Astros won their season series against the Rangers. They lost to the Mariners. The Mariners won their season series against the Astros but lost to the Rangers. And the Rangers won their season series against the Mariners but lost to the Astros. So the tiebreaker would go to the team with the best combined winning percentage against the other two clubs. In this case, the Mariners would win. And again, that's keeping in mind that that's depending on the outcome of tonight's game. Now, the same steps are used to determine the winner of the second AL wildcard berth between the Blue Jays and the two remaining AL West clubs. None of these three clubs won their season series against both of the other two clubs. So this tiebreaker would also go to the team with the best combined winning percentage against the other two. In this scenario, the Astros would prevail. They'd get the second AL wildcard spot with no remaining head-to-head games between the Astros, Rangers, and Blue Jays. This one has already been decided. So that's the second that you don't have to worry about that. It's not going to be used. The tie between the Rangers and Blue Jays for the third wildcard spot would be settled using two-team tiebreaker rules, starting with head-to-head record. The Rangers won their season series against the Blue Jays 6-1, so they'd prevail in this tiebreaker scenario and claim the third AL wildcard berth. If there's a three-way tie, for two spots, the scenario where the Blue Jays would claim the second wild card, the Astros, Mariners, and Rangers tie. If the three AL West clubs finish tied with worse records than the Blue Jays, Toronto would win the second AL wildcard spot. The tie for the AL West title would be settled using the same three-team tiebreaker steps that we talked about before. The tie between Houston and Texas for the third AL wildcard spot would go to the Astros. There's another scenario. The Astros win the West, the Mariners, Rangers, and Blue Jays tie. If that happens, the Blue Jays are out because they have losing records against the Mariners and the Rangers. So there you go. What you don't want is a tie where Houston wins the AL and the Mariners and Rangers and Blue Jays are involved in the tie in the wild card race. You don't want that. The only team the Jays can beat in a wild card tie right now are the Astros. So I hope that explains it. That's kind of where we are. And again, I think most of us didn't think that would be on the table because I think most of us thought the Jays would win one of these two games.
Yep.
And be in a position to clinch a playoff spot. Billy and Markham, why am I not surprised to hear from you? But you're an optimist today.
Nice.
It's very simple, guys. Obviously, we want Seattle to lose tonight, right? But if they don't lose, come on, Arizona. Because I'll tell you, we're sleeping on Houston. Houston could be the team that gets us into the playoffs. Simply put, they're not playing good baseball. They're fighting. Arizona needs this game tonight. I mean, I still think we're in, guys. Even if we lose tomorrow and Seattle wins tonight and tomorrow, we can still catch Houston if Houston stays tied with us, because luckily we've got the tiebreaker over them. Finally, guys, I'm going to disagree with the batting order once again. I've told you guys this from the very beginning. Whit Merrifield is seventh in the American League in hitting. Seventh. But yet he's batting seventh, eighth. Okay, I understand he went into a little bit of a slump. Here's your batting order, John. Listen to me on this. Bo or Whit, 1-2, however you want it. Vladdy, 3, and Springer, 4. What is Bo Bichette's three singles yesterday going to do in a power position, a home run? We don't want Bo Bichette trying to hit home runs. Let Bo Bichette hit the way Bo Bichette hits. Put him at the top. Merrifield right there. Kevin Biggio, yeah, I know you've had a nice little run. Go park your ass on the back of the bench. You're the 10th player on this team. We'll use you if we need you. But other than that, guys, John, stop switching everything around now in games 149 or 159, 160, 160. This should have been done during the regular season. Guys, it's in our hands. We didn't think it would come down to 162. It's all up to us tomorrow. We win the game. We're in. It's as simple as that. Later, fellas.
What do you think of the lineup, Parker? They've scored 18 runs in the last, or 16 runs in the last 2 days. I'm actually okay with the lineup. 16 runs? Is my math right? 16 runs in the last.
I think Witt is 20 for his last 113.
Yeah.
That's a buck 70. I think probably Witt's where Witt should be.
I think that's probably a good way to put it. Do we have John Schneider in the pitching move? Okay, we need to get John Schneider in the pitching move. We do have John Schneider on the mood within the clubhouse, though.
The mood is that everything's in our control still, right? So we worked that hard, this hard to get to this point. So everything is still, you know, right in front of us, and we control what happens. So the mood right now, it's a tough game. You know, we play these guys close, it seems like, all the time. You know, it's a tough loss, but you move on to tomorrow. So it's that's all you can really do. And, you know, the mood will be okay for a little bit, and it'll get better, you know, in a few hours. And I think, you know, you watch the Seattle game, Seattle and Texas, and see what happens.
That's John Schneider talking about the mood in the clubhouse. Theo, look, I don't know how to. It's funny because I'm running over in my head again the use of the bullpen, and I get the idea of you don't want Gausman to have to pitch tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, if you're Kevin Cash and the Rays, not only are you making the team that you will possibly face in the first round have to work like hell to get there. Mm-hmm. You force them to burn their best starting pitcher and take him out of your series. For the most part, Kevin Gausman pitches Sunday. I mean, I guess he could. Would you bring him back on Wednesday? Would you bring him back on Thursday in a third game if you need to? I don't know. But if you're Kevin Cash, this has worked out. This has absolutely worked out perfectly for you.
Yeah, that's why the Rays have won 98 games. They've won 98 games for a reason.
The thing, I mean, I get the idea of managing this game to not get the Gausman. How much of a risk did you think it was at the time when you saw Romano coming in for one inning, knowing the possibility that Hicks would have to go to? You don't have Hicks for tomorrow now.
Yeah, look, I had the conversation on the field with John before the game, and it sounded like he was going to do everything in his power to try and help that ahead, right, to not have to use Gausman in tomorrow's game. Whatever it took to give his team a chance to get a big hit, it worked out exactly the way it was supposed to work out. Again, sometimes I think without always looking at the numbers, you can remember that Jordan Romano had a tough time getting through the big part of the order for the Rays. And Jordan Hicks has had a little time off, was throwing harder today. The movement was there, right? So you're planning on giving him a different look. Maybe it'll work out. It worked out. He just happened to throw a fastball 100 miles an hour down to a lefty. He has a little natural uppercut in his swing.
But then it didn't work out.
Oh, there you go. I mean, it did actually, because it gave him a chance with two outs and a runner in scoring position to walk it off. That was the point, is to try and get your team up there with a chance to walk it off by using the pitcher that you thought gave them the best chance to do that, and he did it.
John Schneider was asked about going to Jordan Romano before Jordan Hicks, and this was his response.
Schneider, can you just walk us through the decision to use Romano in the eighth?
Yeah, kind of just where they were in the lineup. You know, I think when you have Romano and Hicks, you know, just kind of like who you prefer against some lefties that are probably coming up, or just a stack of righties that are not going to get pinch hit for. So talked about it before the game. You know, all the guys in the bullpen are on board. They know that they're going to be in, especially Jordan and Jordan. It's going to be from like the seventh inning on. So just kind of where they were in the lineup.
So there you go. That's John Schneider's explanation, which was your explanation. Kevin, there are people who are going to say that you don't change in game 161 the stuff you were doing from game 1 to 160.
I don't think he changed. I don't understand how he changed. He took the best arm against the best part of the order that he thought that arm could get those guys out. And for the most part, it worked. It got his lineup up.
But I think
with a dude standing in scoring position.
The point is.
And a chance for the two-hole hitter to walk it off. I mean, that's.
Yeah, but the point is, I can see people's point of view. People are wondering whether or not he panicked. Because you haven't seen that this year. You didn't. We has there been a time this year where Jordan Romano's coming in the eighth and Jordan Hicks has pitched in the ninth?
No.
So why now? I'm just saying. I understand why he did it, and I agree with it. But I'm certainly. I understand why callers would. I understand why people would have a question about that. We always talk about managers need to be consistent in their approach. You know. I mean, I give him credit, and you know we've talked about Jordan Romano, but yeah, it's a type of move that you know, people are going to be questioning for a long time if this team doesn't go to the playoffs. And you're right, the idea that they had a chance to win this game, they absolutely had a chance to win this game.
They couldn't get the hit.
I may ask you
a question: did he put the best arm in the best spot of the game in the eighth and ninth and tenth inning?
I would have done what he did, yes.
There you go. I mean, that's all you can do is you think that dude is better against that part of the order, you throw him out there. Again, I like what he said. They knew it was coming before the game started. If we get to this point, because this dude has been better against that part of the order than that guy has, we're going to throw that guy. I mean, for me, it's a no-brainer. That he's trying to give his team the best chance to win a baseball game. And for me anyway, he did it. The player didn't get it done. The dude didn't get a hit when he was in the situation. I mean, he lined them up to get it done, and they just didn't get it done. That's, again, I think sometimes you got to give credit to the other team. That other team's pretty good.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. They got 98 wins for a reason.
Claudio from King City, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, guys. How's it going? This team is very
okay.
Frustrating to watch. But one question, bottom of the 10th when Kiermaier was up with two out and we needed a home run, why didn't we put the Babe Bambino Snyder in to pinch hit?
So for his last 35 or something?
I mean, he hasn't. He's 0 for
35. He was that like a month ago. He's not really that now.
Yeah, but lots of power. It was worth a gamble.
I mean, I guess.
I guess. Well, thank you, guys. Have a great night.
Thanks
for the call.
I knew there'd be a Davis. I mean, Davis Schneider, the folks are already convinced he's going to win an MVP award next year because that's what, I mean, people do fall in love with dudes like that in Toronto.
I mean, he earned it for a little while.
Well, he did, but he's also 0 for 35. It's a nice story.
I don't know, 35 is whatever, you're close.
It's a nice story and everything. But, you're not going to put Davis Schneider up there in a pinch hit situation for one of your best defensive
outfielders. Yeah, especially against a righty pitcher on the mound and, you know, Kiermaier's hit some homers this year against righties.
Before we break, I want to play more from John Schneider on the Romano move show, if we could play that clip.
John, just back to the flipping of the Jordans. I know you mentioned it was lineup related, but I believe that's the first time when Jordan was available that you've gone in that configuration. And given how the past week has gone, was there a heads up to him in advance, any sort of communication on how that might play out in this situation?
Yeah, there's definitely a heads up. There has been a heads up since we acquired Jordan Hicks. And I don't know what's worked out where Romano has had the ninth inning, you know. But, yeah, they all know kind of where we are and what we can do in our bullpen. So, Romano was nasty today. He had really good stuff. So, it kind of just depends on where you are and who's available. But I guess to answer your question, have no problem throwing Romano in the ninth or the 10th or the 11th.
Tell you what, there is no eighth-inning pitcher in baseball who gets his own light show.
I mean, that's a fair point.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. It is true. The Jays have lost 7-5 to, you know, I'm going to mention the light show. You know that. Have lost 7-5 to the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays have taken the second game of this series. Got to watch the Mariners and Rangers tonight. And the pitching matchup is Andreini against Luis Castillo, which makes me think we'll probably be back here tomorrow with the Jays not knowing their playoff future, not knowing whether or not they will be in the playoffs, which, if nothing else, will make for a hell of a one game 162. And a reminder, all the games in Major League Baseball tomorrow start at 3:07 Eastern because it is the final day of the regular season. 7-5, the Jays have lost to the Tampa Bay Rays. We'll take a break and come back with more. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's, up and down, you know. I think the biggest thing is that we control everything, right? That's the biggest thing. It's hectic and it's, you know, stressful and all that kind of stuff. But this is, you know, why you play. This is why you play 162. We're actually doing that. We're playing 162 for a reason. So it's exciting. Yeah, it's up and down. It's back and forth, all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, we control our own fate. So, you know, that part of it feels really good.
I think people, and I include myself in that group, will be a lot more confident were it not for the memory of that playoff series against the Seattle Mariners and how that thing spun out of control. That's kind of the lingering, you know, the takeaway, I think, for most Jays fans. I mean, that's been the biggest, that's been the biggest event until this team clinches or doesn't make the playoffs this year. That's kind of been the biggest moment.
I'm in the camp the way their offense has looked almost all season. Be lucky you're playing 162. That means something.
Well, I'm also in the camp that this is probably the best the offense has looked all year. And I keep getting back to this. Again, they're solid defensively.
Can't believe I'm saying this, but hopefully Brandon Belt's in the lineup tomorrow.
Hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
Time for the Major League Standings Watch, presented by Bet365. You can download the Bet365 app and check out the latest odds for today's baseball games. 19-plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. The games that matter to the Blue Jays won't start for, the Texas-Seattle game will start at 7:15 Eastern, and the Houston-Arizona game will start at 8:10 Eastern. The other game of significance going on right now, the Miami Marlins are leading Pittsburgh 1-0. A win in the Marlins, punch their ticket to the postseason. Hands up if you saw that coming. Oh, wait. There is somebody sitting in here who picked the Marlins to go to the postseason. The standings. We'll read the standings because it's 365. The wild card standings. Tampa Bay is 98-63. They could finish the season with 99 wins and not win their division.
That's the team you want to face in the playoffs.
98-63.
Jeff Blair.
Toronto is 89-72. Houston's 88-72. Seattle's 87-73. What? What are you looking at? I'd still rather face the Rays.
Good luck.
I'd still rather face the Rays than the Twinkies. Daryl from Whitby.
Oh,
what's up, Daryl?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Barker's very happy because he's got exciting baseball.
Really?
I would prefer having the team in the playoffs, but that's just me.
All right, let's just say this. The Jays never make anything easy, that's for sure. But
they do not
let's face
that.
It, if it wasn't for their pitching, they wouldn't be anywhere near where they are right now in the standings. But
there you go.
Where's Ross Stripling when we need him? I would have rather have pitched an opener today and left Ryu on the bench, to be honest. I would have stretched it out that way.
Yeah, I got to say that if this is Hyunjin Ryu's last game in a Jays uniform.
Well, you think so?
Yeah, 100%. You know, yeah, he's past his time.
Yeah.
The other thing, the Jays just don't get timely hitting when they need it. They don't have that clutch hitter that can come through when they need to break through. It's six dozen of one, half dozen of the other. So I guess tomorrow we just got to fingers crossed and hope that they can win the game, or if you want to really bank on it, if the Mariners lose tonight. But that's wishful thinking in a way, isn't it?
Did you like the way John used his bullpen today with Romano and Hicks?
I had no problem with that because the way Romano's been pitching lately, and you get into that part of the lineup coming up, and Hicks has velo and he was pitching good. I mean, that pitch that he pitched down the middle, it was just the guy got a good swing on it and hit it. I don't fault him at all for doing that, to be honest. I mean, Hicks is a closer, too. He was brought in from where they got him from. He was their closer. So,
well, he'd kind of fallen. Yeah, he'd kind of fallen out of favor. He is not what you would call a no-brainer as a closer. The St. Louis Cardinals didn't see him as that.
Yeah.
I'm still not certain he is, but thanks for the call. And, yeah. I mean, you know, again, you explained the decision. John explained the decision. The one thing I will say is all you can ask from the manager is why did you do it? And if he gives you a decision, if he gives you a reason for it, you accept that. And you move on. 416-870-0590, star 590. 1-888-666-0590-75. What are you looking at me like that? 7-5, the Tampa Bay Rays beat the Toronto Blue Jays today in front of 42,097 at the Rogers Center. What are you looking at me like that for?
I'm not looking at you anyway. I was just thinking, man, all it took was Jordan Romano throwing in the eighth inning to throw 99 again.
That was intriguing, wasn't it?
It's odd.
99 three times,
I believe. That he got fired up because he's in the eighth? I'm not sure.
Taylor from Kitchener. Hey, Taylor.
Gentlemen, 162, does it get any better than this? Come on.
Yeah, it does. Right? It does. It would be a lot better if they were in the playoffs. Stop it. Stop trying to find the silver lining in my cloud. Stop it.
Listen, gentlemen, I wanted to, you know, I've heard a lot of understandable negativity kind of calling in on the lineup and the way they use the back end of the bullpen there. But, you know, I've been hard on John all year, but I'm going to tip my hat to it, you know, after 158 games of Jeff Blair screaming through my radio to put Bo in the cleanup spot, he finally listened. And, you know, as for the bullpen there, I mean, you know, Jordy had a couple, Romano had a couple rough outings, and, you know, he needed that. I thought he looked good. And, you know, Hicks was Hicks, and, you know, Bloop single. It's like you guys have said it 100 times. It's baseball. What are you going to do?
Yeah, listen, I appreciate the call, and I think, you know, maybe there's a wide range of support out there for John Schneider and his move.
You know, boy, you're trying, huh? You are trying. You were tooting that, boy. How dare they throw Jordan Romano against the light show in the ninth inning? How dare we see that again?
No, and now they throw
him in the eighth with the light show, and you're still mad.
All I said about the light show, all I said is that you were the one that mentioned that Jordan Romano seemed to lose like 2 miles an hour off his fastball between the bullpen and the mound. The only thing that happens between the time he reaches the bullpen and the mound, one, the umpire asks, you know, checks him for sticky stuff.
Yeah.
And two, there's the freaking light show. So, I mean, I, other than that, you know, I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah. That light show, boy, that really just sucks the velocity right out of you.
I'm just saying.
Boy, just no making you happy, is there?
There is.
The manager listened to you, obviously, and said he matches up better in the eighth because of who's coming up than in the ninth. Let's throw the dude that throws like 4 miles an hour harder in the ninth.
I don't know if I like the move of Bichette into the cleanup spot anymore. I'm just kidding. 7-5, the Jays.
Well, it will make you wonder about the Brandon Belt thing, though. That'll make you scratch your head a little. I mean, I get it. I guess they're telling everybody he's a bazillion years old and can't DH 5 days in a row after having 15 days off. I guess that's what he's telling you. But, oh, by the way, he can't sit over there for 3.5 hours and then come in and take Big Daddy hacks. That makes total sense. Like, I totally understand that, too. That part of it I just don't get. Again, he's been on a little bit of a heater. If you hadn't noticed, he's timing up some heaters and hitting them things all over the place. And then you sort of mix it around and you ask dudes to do different things. And, I mean, what if it was Brandon Belt coming up with a dude in the ninth inning with two outs? Who would you rather have? That's all. Like, right now, I'm just saying. What do I know?
Yeah, Alejandro Kirk came up in a couple of key situations today. And now he did have the leadoff single. But he came up in a couple of key situations here and was not able to deliver for the Blue Jays. And, you know, we've talked. I was about to credit Alejandro Kirk because we wondered how he would handle the expanded workload with Danny Jansen's injury. You know, we haven't talked about that play on the pass ball, the play on the pass ball and the throw down to second base by Alejandro Kirk. It ultimately didn't come back to hurt the Blue Jays. The runner stayed at third as a result of Randy Arozarena's double play. But, what do you make of Alejandro Kirk and where he is right now?
Yeah, I'm not the one that's going to come on here and say, woo-woo, he's playing a lot. Like, he's a baseball player. He's supposed to play. It's performance-driven. Like, if you're going to play and they think you have elite bat-to-ball skills, show us. And if you're doing that, yeah, we'll come on here and rah-rah you. But the actual – it's like the George Springer thing. I know it's a nice little thing because of his age and, you know, he's played center and he's had a tough time staying on the field. I want 30 and 90. That's what I want. 30 and 90. That's why you pay him the big bucks. So, yeah, that's – I get the gist of what you're trying to ask. It's kind of nice and the body type and, yeah, I mean, it's not like he's on the bases six times a game and running all over the place and, you know, he's I think what they're wanting from him. He catches a good game. He blocks the balls most of the time he's supposed to. His swing does look better. I mean, at least he's a little bit more square and not dragging the barrel through the zone. He's rotating the barrel through the zone. So that part of it looks a little bit better, but all right. Do you want him up in the big spot? Would you want him up in the ninth inning with two outs and a runner at second? Probably not.
So what – if you're the Blue Jays, what do you do now? Like, what do you do?
Give the ball to Kevin Gausman and dominate that team tomorrow. None of the Rays are going to play. If they do play, the starters in the everyday lineup, they're going to hit maybe once or twice. You dominate them.
And you also –
that's what you do.
And you do know that that Kevin Cash used all his A-level relievers today because he said before the game his plan was to get all his top relievers into the game today so they could have tomorrow off, get 2 days
off. They're
probably
in Tampa already.
I was going to say, they're probably on the plane. Yeah.
They're probably in Tampa already. Going back the already.
7-5, folks, we got to do it again tomorrow. I mean, you can watch the Mariners and Rangers tonight, and if a miracle happens, then, you know, you can come up, watch tomorrow's game, knowing that there will be a celebration after that game is over, knowing that the Blue Jays are in the playoffs. But given the fact that nothing has come easy for this team this year, I fully expect the postseason to be in the balance tomorrow.
Man, you'll be sitting right here.
We'll be sitting right
tomorrow.
Here. We'll be figuring out our four-way tie scenarios. I can't wait. 3:07 is the first pitch tomorrow on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. While the team makes a push for the postseason, make sure you are prepping your ride for cold weather with Crown, Canada's number one rust protection. Book your appointment today at crown.com or visit the location nearest you.